In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, dear friends, today we celebrate the Feast of St. Jerome, and there's so much to be said about this man. One of the things I particularly like is that he was not a particularly nice person. In fact, he is oftentimes called the irascible saint. He was known to be very impatient. He struggled with anger. He could be very abrupt. He was not someone you would have invited to a cocktail party or to your home for dinner. In fact, one spiritual master says that at the end of Jerome's life, he went to Bethlehem in order to study the sacred scriptures. He lived in the caves of Bethlehem. Tradition says he lived in that one of the caves with a lion. And the spiritual master says that he's always felt bad for that lion. So not a particularly nice person by contemporary standards, but a very holy person, a good person, a person who understood divine wisdom, a person who was a great benefit to our church. He saw a need. The people of God do not know the word of God. He did something about it. He took upon himself the task of translating the entire Greek scripture, Old and New Testament, into Latin, because he knew it was so important that the people of God be able to read and know the scriptures. So he took that responsibility upon himself. Now, Jerome never gave his sins a pass. He knew that his impatience, his unkindness, his abruptness were problems. He struggled and fought against those. He took upon himself severe ascetical practices, disciplining his soul, his will, his body, in order to try to be more patient and kind. It's important as we study the lives of our saints and we see their fallenness, we don't somehow think that that gives us a permission to be fallen or to give this sin a pass. Because the holy ones, as they struggle with their fallenness, they battled against them. They knew that this temperament, this personality was given to them by God. They knew that there was a certain fallenness that came with it. But they also knew there was a power of grace. And they sought to use grace in order to fight against that fallenness in order to grow in holiness. So even as God was doing a great work through Jerome, Jerome in his own soul was fighting that grace might be victorious over pride. That's the battle we all have in our own hearts. And the ones who don't recognize that, it's not recognized because they have already surrendered to pride. We must continuously fight to allow grace to triumph in our souls. Now, as we speak about the battle between grace and pride, this is our, of course, Columbarium Mass. And I always try to mention something about the afterlife or the four last things or something about our theology in terms of judgment, just so we can apply something as we celebrate Mass here at our parish columbarium. And as we speak about that battle, again, between grace and pride, I think it's important that we understand, very importantly, the church's teachings on temporal punishment. Do you know this teaching on temporal punishment? The church tells us that for every sin we commit, there is a consequence to that sin, either in our lives or the lives of those we love or the lives of the human family. When we sin, we hurt the whole of humanity. We hurt even the well-being of the church. If we were all sinners, the church is weaker than what God wants her to be. So whenever we commit a sin, there is a consequence to that, something that happens, a temporal punishment. So something in the earthly order, the worldly order of time and space, temporal, and it is a punishment. It's something that's inflicted upon us, right? So the young woman who comes to confession and says, I'm sorry, I slept with my boyfriend, and then she finds out later that she has a sexually transmitted disease, right? Or that she's pregnant, or she has some consequence from this, right? So that is a consequence of the sin, right? God has absolved the sin, but there are still consequences to that. We bear the consequences of those sins. And of course, sometimes God brings great blessings from those, but we have to be willing to accept the temporal punishment. Oftentimes, the sufferings in our world, if they're offered up, they can begin to remove some of that temporal punishment. It's very important. So, for example, if I'm a liar, and then someone is hurt by my lie, and then they don't want to be my friend anymore, or they tell other people don't be that person's friend because he's a liar, right? Then I accept that. I don't claim I'm a victim. I don't fall into self-pity. I say, you know, I have received a punishment that I deserve. That is a temporal punishment from my sin. You see the connection between sin and temporal punishment. Temporal punishment is oftentimes forgotten. Oh, I commit all these sins. I go to confession. The sin's removed. Okay, everything's fine. Yes, in one sense. but there's still some work to be done in another. Incidentally, this is why the priest gives you penance in the sacrament, in order that you might go and begin to offer up something towards that temporal punishment. Venerable Fulton Sheen describes it as a sin being a nail. And you take that nail and you drive it into a piece of wood. But you take the nail out of the wood, the nail is gone. But there's still a hole, right? Sin is like a nail that pierces our soul. Absolution removes that nail, but there's still a hole there, right? And the filling up of that hole is temporal punishment. God, by his mercy, is allowing for the consequences of the sin to be resolved, to be healed, to be made whole again. Now, if we continuously deny temporal punishment, and we do not accept temporal punishment in this life, it will be waiting for us into eternity. And dear friends, that is what purgatory is all about. So if we avoid temporal punishment, especially in the West, because we have so many things that make our life very comfortable, then when we enter into eternity, all the temporal punishment of our sin will be waiting for us. Some time ago at a different parish, a person who was dying of cancer, who had lived a very sinful life, asked me as they were dying from the cancer, will all this suffering make up for the sin that I've done? See, all the suffering in the world cannot make up sin. Sin is only removed by the Lord Jesus Christ and by his goodness. So the Lord will remove your sin simply by asking. But the suffering you've undergone, I explained to him, will make up for the temporal punishment in your soul and the temporal punishment for the consequences and the suffering that you have inflicted upon your loved ones. Dear friends, do not avoid temporal punishment. Accept the sufferings and the fallenness of this world, either direct consequences of your sins or by small acts of penance or abnegation, to walk up a flight of stairs rather than using an escalator, huh? Right. To not have salt with your food or some condiment with your food, right? To allow for yourself to suffer the heat or the cold of an outdoor mass. Good job, guys. Right. We offer these things up in temporal punishment for our sins, the consequences of our sins, and those of our loved ones. As we celebrate this Mass, we ask God to give peace and repose to our loved ones. We also recommit ourselves to accept the temporal consequences, the punishments of our sin, and to allow those to heal us and to heal the lives and the souls of those we love.